clubs. Just a few things for the week. Unfortunately, Paul Kashika, who was due to be here from Whittlesea, is unwell, but I'm very pleased that Steve Philpott from the same church at Whittlesea has stepped in at late notice to take the service this morning. So thank you, Steve, for doing that. Just a couple of reminders for the week. On Tuesday at 7:30, we have our midweek prayer and Bible study on Zoom. And next Sunday, being the first Sunday of the month, we'll be having communion during the morning service. Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to be here. Fairly last minute, yes, but that's okay. It's good to meet to worship God, isn't it? There's lots going on in the world, in our country. There's a conference about climate change. A lot of people are very worried about that. There's COVID. My whole family have had COVID since we're last here. Thankfully, we're all well again. But others are suffering a lot worse. Even just driving here this morning, I saw some tents on the side of the road protesting about animal rights. There's lots of things going on, aren't there? Lots of things to concern us. Lots of things that we might feel, or others might feel, somebody ought to do something about. So it's really helpful for us as we meet this morning, not to ignore those things and say none of those matter. We should think about these things. We think what is a right Christian approach to them. But it's really helpful for us to remember the biggest things. And I just want to read from Revelation chapter 22 as we start, just to help us with that. This is Jesus Christ speaking through in written to John. Look, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy written in this scroll. And then a little bit later, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride, that is the church, say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes to take the free gift of the water of life. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this scroll. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to that person the plagues described in this scroll. And if anyone takes words away from this scroll of prophecy, God will take away from that person any share in the tree of life and in the holy city which are described in this scroll. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Really helpful to remember those words as we meet this morning. Let's pray. Our powerful and wonderful and gentle and victorious, loving Saviour Jesus, we praise you. We thank you that you have spoken, you have given us this revelation. We know that you are returning. Our Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for sending your Son, and we thank you for sharing with us this next big event in history that will happen, the return of Jesus Christ. And so this morning, as we live in this world with so many things going on, so many things that are being shouted about, so many things that seem to be a big emergency or a big problem, we thank you that we know, above it all, you are God. And Jesus Christ, the Saviour, the one who knows all about suffering, who knows all about the big problems, the one who came to be one of us, to share in what it's like to be human. Oh, we thank you for him. We thank you that you have given us a Saviour. Father, we pray that we would have our eyes fixed on him, that even as we live in this world and even as we think about and grapple with all these other things, we pray that we will know him and love We pray that we people of your word, standing firm on your word, trusting that it is true. Father, help us. Help us as we look at your word this morning. Please bless us in this service. And we want you to have all the honour. Amen. Amen. Well, sing our first song. It's number 153 in the green hymn book, Grace. Tell out my soul. This is a hymn where we encourage ourselves, really, to praise God, to speak of all that he has done. So let's do that together. To what we look at later, the sermon, but I'm going to use it as a bit of children's talk. So, here's a question. Have you noticed, children, have you noticed how different people have different walks? Have you noticed that? What kind of walks can you think of that people have?
I
don't. I bet you have noticed. I bet you have. What kind of walks? People walk in different ways, don't they?
Yeah.
Well, let me give you an example, okay? I've got a friend at work who walks like this. I'm exaggerating. But that's how he walks. Any other examples of different walks? Yeah. Some people swing like this. In fact, this is... I don't think you might be saying, my boss at work, the boss at the top, he swings his hips as he walks. And it's quite funny because he sort of, his whole body swings. We walk in different ways. Some people sort of slide along. Some people move their body a lot. Some people don't. Can you tell who's coming by the sound of their walk, their footsteps? Have you ever done that?
I don't do it between you two.
Maybe it's clip-clop. Well, that depends more on your shoes, really, doesn't it? But you can tell. Sometimes when I'm sat at work and I'm doing something and I hear footsteps and I can tell who it is coming just by the footsteps. You can tell. We walk in different ways. Now, when you hear somebody coming, let's think, grandparents maybe. If you hear grandparents coming, is that a good sound?
Yes.
I hope it is. It does depend on your grandparents, doesn't it? It does depend. So if you hear grandparents coming, I don't know, sometimes that might mean, it might mean sweets. It might mean gifts. It might do. I mean, if they're wise and sensible, it might not always be sweet, but what about if you're doing something you shouldn't be and you hear footsteps of mum or dad coming? What sort of sound is that? I don't mean sound, I mean how do you feel about it? Yeah, and you should really. Yeah. You're worried about what's coming. There's that kind of sound or somebody's approach and you're thinking, oh, what's coming next? Or you're thinking, oh great, I'm loving the sound of this. Well, I think something good is coming. So, what do people expect when they hear you coming? There's a question. You don't have to answer if you don't want to. It's okay. Do they expect noise? Do they expect lots of liveliness? Yeah, they might expect somebody coming to play, yeah. Here's a different question for you then. Or not a question so much. The question is this, okay. So what does God want us to be like? So when you arrive, that's true. And there's something particular that I want to tell you from the Bible. But when you are arriving, people have an expectation, don't they? Maybe it's your friend and they hear you coming and they think, oh great, I'm going to play. People have an expectation of what comes with you when you come to them. Here's something that God says. He wants the sound of us arriving to be a beautiful sound. A beautiful sound, a good sound. What do I mean? Well, in the passage we're going to read later, God says this. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. The sound of someone approaching who brings good news. What do you think that good news is going to be? The good news that God's talking about, what's that going to be? Do you mean one? Really want to guess? No, that's all right. It's the good news about Jesus. God says that when we approach, God says that the sound of someone approaching the good news of Jesus is a beautiful sound. A beautiful sound. And here's the thing, is that what people hear when we approach? So as I'm coming, does my friend know that the person coming is somebody who brings good news?
Yes.
Well, it's a question, isn't it? Some of them might know that. Maybe some of them don't. Maybe I'm not so good at sharing the good news with some people. But that is what God wants us to be. To be people who bring good news. Why is it good news about Jesus? Because Jesus is the one who is a saviour. Because Jesus is the one who brings forgiveness for our wrong, for our sin. Jesus is the one who can give eternal life to sinners who deserve the opposite, who deserve death. Jesus is good news. To know him is wonderful. It means life. It means hope. It means peace. And so, what I would love for all of us, is grown-ups as well, is that the sound of us arriving would be a sound of good news coming. That is God's desire, that we should be those that know Jesus and share him, share that good news. That would be wonderful, wouldn't it? So let's just pray that actually for each other. Let's pray that. Heavenly Father, We can joke about our different walks. We can joke about the differences between us. You made us all. You made us how we are, and we thank you for that. But we want to be those who know Jesus, who know the Saviour, who know life in Him. We want to be those who share that good news with others. Please help us to be. If we don't know Jesus, please reveal Him to us. Please open our hearts to receive Him. And may we love Him and want to share Him with others, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we're going to just sing together again now. It's number 27 in the Green Book again. O Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hand has made. This is a song of wonder and praise at what God has done. But as we go through the verses, it comes to that point of sending Jesus and just being amazed at what He has done in sending Jesus for us.
Oh,
to our Lord in prayer. When I think that God, his Son, not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it. But on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Father, please, may those words sink in. That is something we can't fully take in, that the eternal Son of God, Jesus Christ, should come and be one of us, should subject himself to all of the frustrations of being a man living in this world. That he should make himself nothing. More than that, to suffer humiliation at the hands of people he had made. To suffer death on a cross, the worst death, the most shameful death, the cursed death. That he should do all of that to save somebody like me, to save sinners like us. We're amazed. In one sense, we're horrified, but we're so thankful. And we thank you that you sent your Son, that he came, that he was willing, that he delights to save. We're amazed at these things. We thank you for such a Saviour. We thank you that it's this Jesus who is going to come back. It's this Jesus who's going to gather all of his people. It's this Jesus who's going to bring in the new creation, where there won't be any concern about climate change, there won't be any pollution there won't be any of the problems that we experience in this life. What a hope. Thank you that is certain, that is what is going to happen. And Father, we thank you that you are in control now, leading us to that point. And so we don't need to worry that the world is going to somehow end in some other way. We don't need to worry that we're out of control, because we know you are in control. We don't need to worry in one sense about how things are going to go, because they're going to go exactly how you have planned. We do pray for wisdom as we deal with the very practical things in our lives and around us. We pray for wisdom that we might be people who do set a good example of not being wasteful, or of caring about your good world that you have made. Help us to set an example in those things. But we pray that we won't be taken over by the hype. We won't be taken over by the declarations of the end of the world. By the lie that we are in control, if we do the right things, we can fix it. Father, we know that's not true. Climate is not in our control. But we have a responsibility towards you to live as good stewards, to live as those who love each other, to be those who do care for the poor, who do help those in need. And we pray that we would be those people, that we would be followers of Jesus who care for others, who love others, who have compassion like our Lord did. But followers who recognise that most of all, we're sinners who need forgiving, that we need to know Jesus. Father, as our world looks in all sorts of places for saviours, we pray that we would be confident and clear that Jesus is the only saviour, and that he is the one everybody needs. Father, I thank you for the encouragement of the Grace Baptist Mission Day yesterday, for the encouragement of church plants going on in different places, including the UK, for Jason Andrew at Murphy in Madeira, for the church plant happening in Serbia, for the one that Ruben and Kathy Saywell are hoping to prepare for in the Philippines. Father, we thank you for these works. We thank you that there are Christians in different countries preaching the gospel and trying to reach those who haven't heard it. Father, we pray for your blessing on all of these things. And we pray for your blessing on us here as we also try and reach those who haven't heard the gospel here. Father, may we have the heart for it. I pray for the tea and talk with us this afternoon where we're aiming to do just that. I pray that there will be some there who don't know Jesus. I pray for your help in speaking. Father, bless that one of many of the different things that the different churches do. Father, please show your power by taking sinners and changing them, by giving them new hearts that know you. Please would you do that. And Father, I want to pray for Paul, who is due to be here this morning with his swollen throat and the distress that that's causing. Father, we don't really know what it is. We pray that as that keeps getting worse, that there will be some medication that helps, that makes a difference. We pray for healing. Father, please be with him now. And no doubt there are those among us here, those who aren't able to be here, who are also suffering in different ways. Father, would you draw alongside by your Spirit and courage, strength, that we pray. And help us to be a blessing to each other in those difficult times. Father, please hear these prayers. We ask them in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Saviour. Amen.
Amen.
Well, before we look again at the Bible then, we'll sing once more. And this is a prayer that God will speak to us through his word. Speak, O Lord. As we come to his word, we pray this.
Take your
me on into that. It doesn't always feel like the earth is being filled with God's glory when we meet in relatively small numbers, but that is what God is doing. That is what He's working. Let's just pray briefly again. Father, we pray for the children in Sunday school. Please open their hearts to know Jesus Christ, to understand your word as they have that shared with them now. Help those teachings, we pray. And as we've just been singing, speak to us, stir us, teach us, we pray. Amen. We've had the sermon introduction. Beautiful feet, or the sound of those who approach with the gospel, with the good news. We're going to look at Romans chapter 10, verses 11 to 17 we'll read, but in particular verses 14 and 15 we'll look at together. Romans chapter 10, verses 11 to 17 we will read now. And the context here is Paul speaking about Israel. He's asking some questions about why so many of the Jews, God's special people, are not saved. And he's been explaining that though they tried really hard to be good enough, that they rely on their own righteousness instead of believing the message that Jesus saves. They tried really hard, but they have not obtained salvation because they're relying on them trying, not on God saving. And so he reminds us of the good news about Jesus and that people need to hear it. So verse 11 of Romans chapter 10. As scripture says, anyone who believes in him, in Jesus, will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one of whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? How can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed that message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. So that is Paul describing the situation for the Jews, but then coming to this statement about how we are saved. And it's all the same way, Jews and Gentiles, it is all the same way that we believe in the same Jesus Christ. And so, just some headings to help us go through this. The first one is this: we all need to hear the good news. We all need the good news. Everyone who believes, everyone who calls, will be saved. This is the message of the cross, isn't it? The message of the cross, and it is a message for anyone and everyone, all kinds of people, Jew and Gentile, people you know, families you know, friends, neighbours, all kinds of people, people with very different lives and very different problems, let's say, very different challenges, broken families, money problems perhaps, self-esteem, mental health, or people with no obvious problems at all, people who seem to have it all together. What do we all try and do? We try and do better. We try and change where there are difficulties. We try and overcome. We try and get there ourselves, just like Israel would do. We try. Self-help. Or we carry on enjoying the fact that things are good. That is what we do. That is what Israel tried here, their own efforts. But as Paul explains through the letter of Romans, it leads to greater condemnation. The more we try to be good and to do right, the more we bring condemnation on ourselves, because all of our efforts are tainted by our sin. Even our best is for wrong motives, and we fall so far short. Own efforts leads to deep condemnation. And so this good news is for everyone, because no matter what we are like and what our lives are like, we need a saviour. And so it's good news that we have all, that there is a saviour, Jesus Christ, a saviour for everyone. When Jesus died on the cross and rose back to life, he did exactly what we need doing. He dealt with sin, conquered it for good. He brings forgiveness instead of punishment, friendship with God instead of banishment, resurrection power to change, God's power to change us, not our strength and efforts to try and improve ourselves. And it's in verse 6 of this same chapter, Paul refers to something in the Psalms. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven to bring Christ down? Who will ascend to the deep to bring Christ up? Sorry, this is Deuteronomy. Do not say that, because the word is near to you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. In other words, this is not something that is far off and difficult to get hold of. This message of salvation through Jesus is not difficult. The thing that's difficult is us giving up our time. Is us trusting somebody else. Is us saying, I'm not good enough. I need Jesus. This is a message for everyone. I met a guy called Glenn at university. My first week there, he was pretty cocky, pretty loud. I remember waiting outside the lecture hall the first time I met him, and he was clowning around, and I felt one of those people kind of, sort of keep away a little bit, really. But underneath, he was empty. He comes from Stevenage, and back home he had been involved in some gangs, fighting, breaking the law. But it wasn't a life. It was empty. He heard the gospel at university, and he believed in Jesus. And it turned his life around. And he was still a bit loud and a bit overconfident. He still had problems, but he knew that Jesus Christ was his saviour. He knew that Jesus Christ is who he needed. He knew that that is where his hope is, and praise the Lord, he's now serving in church leadership in London. The gospel is for everyone, for somebody with that kind of background. The gospel is somebody with a very ordinary, nothing much to say about it background. A different example, in 2004, Caroline, a member of our church in Whittlesey, went to India, and she did some work at an orphanage, and she met a girl there called Sangeetha. Born to a Hindu family, father died when she was young, mother was unable to care for her, so sent her to work 12 hours a day in a matchstick factory. She was blamed, I'm not quite sure how that worked, but she was blamed for her father's death. She was abused in various ways by different members of her family. Desperately sad. She was taken to Sunday school by a Christian, where she heard the gospel. She was later taken to a Christian orphanage she cared for. And Carolyn described how when you were in the orphanage and the children looked at you, many of them just had blank eyes because they had no hope. Because they'd lost so much, because they'd been treated so badly, they'd learned to just shut off. But not Sangeetha. Her eyes sparkled with the life that she knew in Jesus Christ. because knowing Jesus changes everything. It might not change everything visibly, outwardly, but it changes everything in our hearts. It changes everything eternally. This message is one of hope, of true life, of forgiveness to anyone and to everyone who trusts and calls on Him. We all need the good news. But we all need someone to tell us. Paul wants to make it plain that if there is this big message of fantastic news about Jesus, and everyone needs to hear it so that they can then believe it, then somebody needs to tell them. That's what he says in verse 14. How can they call on one they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? How can they hear without someone preaching to them? So who is that? Well, Paul's talking specifically about preaching here. But the original context in Isaiah, which is where that quote comes from, was a herald, somebody running with a message, with news, over the hills, over the mountain to Jerusalem. So here, Paul's talking about preaching. And that is the mainstay of how the gospel is announced. That God has ordained it, has chosen preaching as the big way that the gospel is announced, that this message is told. But I want to say this, we don't have to go far in the Bible to find out this is something for every Christian, that every Christian is involved in. In Acts chapter 11, we have the whole mix of people who made up the church in Jerusalem suffering persecution and therefore getting pushed out. They spread out all around the place. And what we find is that they go telling others about Jesus wherever they went. They were spreading this message about Jesus. In Colossians chapter 4, Paul asks the believers to pray for him that he might be able to share the message about Jesus faithfully. And then he says, you too, every believer in the church in Colossae, you too, take every opportunity, behave and speak in a godly way that points to the truth about Jesus. In both of those examples, it's the whole church that is involved here. It is ordinary Christians who are involved here, living and telling, backing up the message with our behaviour, showing that it's true. We all need to hear. We all need someone to tell us. And that means you and I. We send preachers, evangelists, missionaries, and we should. That's good. That's important. And we praise God for giving people the gifts and setting them aside. Yes. But we also send each other, every member of this church, every believer, we send each other into our daily lives to be witnesses to Jesus Christ and to tell others about Jesus. Like somebody did with Glenn. Yes, he went to hear the gospel preached, but a Christian friend befriended him and spoke to him and took him and spent many hours explaining to him the gospel. Sangeetha, a Christian befriended her, took her along to Sunday school, cared about her. Some people are converted simply from hearing the message. Many, many are converted through friends, family members sharing the message and their lives. And that's so helpful for us to remember. We all need the good news. We all need somebody to tell us. And to the picture of our feet, the beautiful feet, it is a beautiful sound. God says people who bring good news have beautiful feet. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those bringing the good news. Back to the context in Isaiah. Israel had disobeyed terribly over many, many years. They turned away from God. They'd been taken into captivity. That was the final judgment for them as a nation, was being removed from the very land that God had promised them, given them. That was the fulfilling of his promises. They were taken out of it, away from the temple. All of those things that were related to God's promises to them as a nation, removed. But God still has a strong desire to have his people for himself, that they should know him as their king and saviour. And we see that in the Old Testament prophets in particular. There's some lovely passages in amongst the declaration of judgment, where we see God's heart for his people, even when they turn against him again and again. And so God calls to his people who are slaves in a foreign country, who are exiles, and describes a messenger running to Jerusalem to announce good news. Here's the messenger running over the mountains to the city that's been deserted, that's been broken down. I'm coming with good news, a message from God himself, he announces as he runs to them. Peace, instead of all this turmoil and war and captivity. You're going to be saved instead of destroyed. God the King is returning to his people. Instead of you being thrown out, God is going to return to you. That was enormous news to them. Enormous news. A beautiful sound. Good news. Hope for those who have known such distress and destruction. And so as we think about the gospel of Jesus Christ, news that is the fulfillment of that news, actually. God returning to his people. How did he do that most fully? What was the real promise that this was leading to? God coming in his son, Jesus Christ, to us. God among his people. This is the news that was heading towards. And so if that was a beautiful sound, how much more the sound of the message of Jesus? God says the feet that bring the good news of Jesus Christ are beautiful. So the question for us is, what's the sound of our approach to those around us? As I was saying to the children, is it the beautiful sound of someone bringing the good news of Jesus? Let's think of a couple of other examples of somebody hearing good news. A child who is very hungry and may hear the news, lunch is ready. That is good news to a hungry child who's struggling to deal with the hunger. That may be somebody who's been waiting anxiously for an exam result, or maybe a medical result. And there's good news, the exam, you've passed. The medical results, you're clear, or there's an improvement. Good news. Well, far better than any of those kinds of news is the news that there is a Saviour, God, a friend for us. To your friend in their troubled state of mind, mental health struggles perhaps, here is a Saviour who can give peace and comfort and rest. Good news is the best news, whether they know it or not, whether they understand it or not. To somebody who is aware of their sin and their failings, of how much they've done wrong in their life, good news. Jesus brings forgiveness. Jesus saves completely. The message of the cross is good news for every situation, every need, every problem. Those who feel unloved, a loving Father. Forgiveness for when we have caused great hurt to others. For those who lack purpose, the biggest possible purpose, knowing our God and enjoying Him and serving Him. For those who feel perhaps lonely, welcome to God's family. We could go on. The gospel of Jesus Christ really is hope for every person in any situation. Don't our friends and family need this message? What a lovely sound when this good news is delivered graciously, sensitively. Is that us? Do we have those lovely feet? Music in God's ears when we share the gospel. We've been shown that love and grace of God, haven't we? We've known his grace. And the only reason that we are still here today, the reason that God has arranged things like he has, that his people should remain here before we're gathered to be with him, is so that we might live to his glory now, so that we might share with others Jesus Christ. Living to God's glory means showing his goodness to others and praising him as we share what he has done with others. The message of the cross compels us to live like that. I'm not pretending that I'm the perfect example here. It's so easy to be taken up with so many things in life. There are many things we have to deal with, aren't there? Many practical things, day to day, take up time, take up energy. It's not that every moment we're feeling that we're praising God. But do we live? Do we regularly give thanks? Do we regularly praise him for what he's done? Speak about what he's done. Share what he's done. God has many more people in this city. We don't know how many more he has a meeting with. I don't know how many more he has in Whittlesea. But he has more people than he is calling to be his own. The people around us, he seems so uninterested, that the people who we just can't see how they would believe, they might be God's children who have not yet had their hearts turned, who've not yet heard God's call. God longs for the call on him to be saved. And he longs for us to share his heart by sharing the good news. So how should we walk? If we're using the picture of walking, how should we walk? Well, we begin where we are. That's the first thing. We begin where we are. This is where God's placed us. We begin where we are. We have many people around us who need to hear. And I just want to mention three R's: relationship, relevance, and response. This might be helpful to us. Relationship. We've spoken about this already. Most people get to know a Christian before they will really hear the gospel. Most people need us to be alongside them before they will really be listening. And you ought to keep in mind that you care for, that you love, that you want to come to know Jesus Christ. And you probably know them. They probably know you. And that's important. When we're thinking about sharing the gospel, that's the most effective place to begin. Knowing people. Getting to know people. Listening, sharing life. And then relevance. So the people who know us, our non-Christian family and friends and neighbours, they need to see that the gospel works in our life. And what I mean by that is that it really does make a difference, that it really does change how we see things, how we approach life, how we care for others. Truthfulness, integrity. That should be the mark of a believer. That they know they can trust us because we do speak truth. Loving in a self-giving way, going out of our way to help others, especially when things are tough for them, being a good friend. Now, if you're privileged to be in a Christian family, in a Christian home, inviting others into your home to see how the gospel works in that context. We can be a bit afraid of that sometimes because we know all of the imperfections in our families, in our homes. But that's such a powerful witness. Things that we can do to demonstrate the gospel is relevant, but it's real. Understanding a person, talking about life. And then thirdly, response. So relationship, knowing people, relevance, sharing life and allowing people to see how it works in our lives. And response. There does need to be a point where that friend, that family member, hears the clear gospel message and understands that they need to respond. There needs to be that point. And that's part of our responsibility, if you like. Sharing our lives is really important, but we do need to clearly share the gospel too. We do need to clearly share that need to trust Jesus Christ to respond. We can do that ourselves, of course. We can bring them to hear the preaching of the gospel. Of course we do that. We want to do that. It's a helpful thing to do. And we can give them something to read, the Bible, best of all. But there's other helpful books too. There's just some practical things for us to be thinking about. I'm sure these are things you've thought about many times, but it's helpful to come back to them. How will you walk? The final thing is this: we need God to turn hearing to believing, don't we? We can do things, but God is the one who turns hearing to believing. The context here, verse 16, not all of the Israelites accepted the good news. Lord, who has believed our message? Most of them did not believe. They heard, but they didn't believe. Was that because somebody didn't share their life with them? They had a hardness of heart. Ears can hear, but be very hard. And you might think about people that you care for. You might think, I've spoken to them many times, and their heart has gone nowhere. We need God to turn hearing into believing. We pray, and we pray, and we pray. We sow the seed, it is God who gives the increase. It is Him who brings it, springing up, who gives life. So we need to encourage each other, not to stop because it's hard and because we haven't seen fruit yet. We know heaven rejoices when one sinner repents. What about when the response is disappointing? When there seems nothing? Well, we've just read, haven't we, that God says it's a beautiful sound when somebody brings the good news. God delights in His children sharing that good news message, even when we get the blank response. That's an encouragement, isn't it? To know our Father smiles down at us when we seek to faithfully follow Him, even though it's really tough. But we pray because God does turn hearing into believing. And we want to pray to share His joy, that rejoicing in heaven, when we see our friends, our family, believe. Let's pray. Our Father, we look at these things in Your Word, we think about our own lives, and we often feel a bit hopeless. We often feel that we are so small and weak, that we've tried and we've failed, that where we know we should have been a clearer Christian, we haven't been. We've spoken to somebody and it was hard work and there's been nothing back. We often feel our weakness. Father, we thank You that You do save. We thank You that the message we have is wonderful and is the hope that does speak hope to everybody. We thank You, Father, that You are building Your kingdom. And please encourage us today that our Saviour, Jesus, is the Saviour that those around us need too. Encourage us that as we speak, as we try and share Your Word, in ways that sometimes seem small, that You will work. And help us to love You and to love others and therefore to share. Father, we thank You for saving us and we pray that You would give us that heart for others. Please stir us up. Please strengthen what is weak. Please delight us with Your grace again. And we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to sing in response to that. Number 655, in grace. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. This is a song submitting all of our life to Jesus Christ and praying, please, use me. prayer that we've just prayed. Please take us and use us. Fill us, we pray. Bless us. Please bless each of us through the rest of today. And as we try to seek with your help to follow you, please help us. Please strengthen us. We need you. And so we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.